Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for today. I just thank you for being our God, Lord, allowing us to be your people, Lord. And Lord, I also just thank you for refining us, Lord, and showing us how we're able to become more like you, Lord, as dear children. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us as we continue our study of the book of Hebrews and our current discussion on this section of scripture, talking about the promise of the Lord's rest, which is found in chapter 4. We'll be covering verses 1 through 10. So with that, if you're joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I'd just like to encourage you to pause the episode and take a moment and the opportunity to read that section of scripture just to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
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 All right. And at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, Promise.
Well, Mommy spoke about this in the previous episode, but I would just like to speak about it again. The Lord was reminding me of how that God is our rest. It's not about the material things that He gives. It's more so about the peace that He brings with Himself, and also because of what He is. We read inside of Galatians 5 talking about the fruits of the Spirit. I know from experience that's all the things I would like to experience for myself. And also I would like to have said about myself and the like. And because the Lord is like this, whenever we allow God to work in our lives, God is able to bless us and make us peaceful, and also to give us peace on around all sides, as I believe David spoke about. He lost my place. And then talking about how that, going to John 1, talking about how that Jesus is the light in the life of men. The same should apply for us, that we're unwilling to move if the Lord is not with us. We read about that with Moses inside of Exodus, talking about when the Lord told Moses that they can go to the land of Canaan, but the Lord was not going to go with them. But Moses said that if they had gone and the Lord had not gone with them, it would have been pointless. The same should apply for us. We should be ready and willing and waiting for God to give His command. And that also goes into spiritual warfare. You don't see the troops just running around. They're waiting for their commander to tell them when to move. The same should apply for us. We shouldn't be going, well, Lord, I want to do this instead, so I'm going to do that. The Lord should be able to tell us, and we should be able to listen the first time He says it. And only then will we be actually His children. As Romans 8:4 says. One second, let me flip there.
Please do. Let's hear it directly. What's it say, sir?
And it's... wasn't Romans 8:4, but let me paraphrase it. Those who are led by God are the sons of God.
I led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in other words, those are led by Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Promise, were you still speaking?
No.
Thank you. So what the Lord was showing with me, showing me inside of this instance is that what we see here, I know we covered this inside of chapter 3 in our discussion of it, but we see Paul here, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, saying it plainly that what we have to do is to mix it with faith, and which is very important. when we go back inside of Genesis and we see inside the beginning, we know that it says that the worlds were framed by the words of God, and we know God has faith because he has given it to us. He's given us each a measure from his resources. But what we have to understand is that as we're entering into what the Lord has for us, faith is not something that just comes from inside the New Testament, as we would believe. That's really where we start to see it. Really where we start to see it transition. And that's where we start to see notice the increase in the word faith. But it was there all along, as we see here. They had the ability to enter into a rest regardless. And we see multiple times where the Lord, it would seem like the Lord saying something that was, that they couldn't do something, but then they pressed in essentially, and they were able to do it. Not in a way of disregarding what the Lord said and trying to do of their own strength, but they corrected their course essentially and got back onto the path, and the Lord was able to bless them as a result of that. David being an example of that, where in the sin with Bathsheba, technically he should have been stoned, because that's what the due reward, and according to the law, that's what should have happened. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said, I put away your sin from you. But David also had to put away from himself as well. He couldn't have just said, okay, Lord, that's good enough, and I'm going to go do this again. That's not how it works. He had to put it away himself forever. It wasn't, I'm going to put away for 5 minutes and then take it back up. As we see in humans, and I know I've done that at times as well, but it has to be constant and consistent that we have put it away from ourselves. And then we're able to enter into the rest. But this also denotes a perseverance inside of us, that we are unwilling to let anything stop us. And we talked about it multiple times inside the Old Testament, where we see one example being Joshua. Yes, Joshua. And what it would look like from the outward appearance that, A, he was an old man and shouldn't have been fighting. And then B, that these people were significantly bigger and taller than they were. And they were stronger from what the Lord describes them as. And as they describe themselves, they were bigger and they couldn't have done it in their own strength or in their own thing. But Caleb and Joshua didn't allow that to define what they were. They were going inside of what the Lord said and were diligent in that. And that's what they put their trust in. That's what we have to as well. And Mommy, you said this as well, that we have to be putting our trust inside of the Lord always in order to achieve everything and enter into the rest. We're resting from our own will, essentially, and our own works on what we think we should be doing and what our mind tells us we should be doing. That's what we should be resting from. That's what we should be getting rid of, because it profits us nothing, as we see in various places. I think Paul also says that, though I have all these things, actually that's 1 Corinthians 13, though I have all these things, essentially it profits me nothing if I'm not being led by God, which is love. That's a paraphrased version of it, but that's what he was getting at. And when we fully enter into that and understand that the Lord's not interested in good ideas from us, he doesn't want my ideas. There's been multiple times where I try to say, oh Lord, you might want to know this. There's some key facts in there, Lord, and this might help make the plan a better plan. Mm-hmm. But the Lord's not interested in that. If he really wanted my opinion, he would have made me God. But since I'm not, he does not need it, nor want it.
Mm-hmm. 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 When he wants your opinion, he'll give it to you.
No,
but that's really what happens. He goes, here, I'm going to put this in your heart, and then you can tell it back to me.
Right. There is grace given, right? And he says in scripture, right? Come, let us reason together, right? Mm-hmm. Which means let's have a conversation about this. But it's not that you're telling the Lord so much as you're asking questions and allowing, if you're willing, right, him to help you understand what he meant by that thing, right? So we have the full message clearly relayed or articulated so we can understand the wisdom that the Lord's providing. Not just getting the knowledge, but understanding that wisdom and that knowledge, his counsel, so we can fulfill what he's then given us or commanded us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dad.
So let's understand that in full.
Mm-hmm. And that would be like an example would be the difference between Mary, the mother of Jesus, the natural birth mother of Jesus, asking the angel when he came to tell her what was going to happen. How does this work? Because I'm not technically doing the natural things that I know 2 + 2 = 4, you know, husband plus wife equals baby. How does this go together so I can cooperate with you, right?
Yes,
that
mommy.
She asked a question so she could understand and cooperate. Whereas Zachariah, Elizabeth's husband, was like, how I know it. I can trust you on this? How am I going to tell that this is going to be right and it's going to be true? And he was like, oh.
but Moses, is that right? Moses had the same experience, right? He said, how will I know that you're with us? And that, you know, and the Lord said, when you look back and you see the journey and you understand or recognize there's no way you could have made it. Okay. So he had a word from the Lord. Then it was, what was he going to do? Was he going to exercise his faith, put it in action, and go forward? Or was he going to sit there, as you so eloquently stated their promise? But we're to move forward. That's faith, right? How can two walk together, not sit there together, unless they agree? It's got to be active and in action, moving.
But whatever that is, doing what the Lord said, because he says, and see the salvation of the Lord.
There is that also,
take
right.
a break. Don't go to work today. He didn't have to say, don't go to work because the towers are going to blow up.
Amen.
He just has to say, don't go to work today. Call in.
I mean, the walking together with the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. We should be in step with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So if he's still, then we're still. And if he's moving, we should be right in lockstep with him.
Amen. Looking for what he's telling us to do. Glory to God.
I enjoyed that you mentioned a promise about the troops in a combat zone. They don't just march around aimlessly or march wherever they want to go. They're supposed to wait for their commanders to give them instructions. And they should, something that should be denoted there as well that we have to look at is the troops trust what's coming out of their commander's mouth, that they're going to give the best plan that they've got so that they win and they're not all, you know, slaughtered. Same thing happens with us in the Lord. We already know that God is not going to give us a half-done plan. It's always going to be good, and it's always going to produce fruit that remains. So we should just trust, because there's no reason to distrust what he's saying, since he's only telling us the truth and only telling us what is good that will produce in our lives, both spiritually and naturally. So when he does say move, we can trust that he's telling us to move in a way that won't cause us to fall into that bear trap and be sliced in half by that swinging pendulum, because the adversary is setting out traps and he is trying to snare us and get us to take our eyes off of Jesus, which is what happened to Peter. I was talking with another brother in Christ, and he told me that the Lord had commanded Peter to come on the water. And what the Lord had showed me was, no, he didn't. Peter asked if he could come, because Jesus was who he said he was. Peter said, let me walk on the water to you. And then the Lord granted his request by saying, come, but he wasn't commanding him. So Peter spawned something out of himself. And because he took his eyes off of Jesus when he saw that the wind was boisterous and the waves were really tall, he began to sink because he lost faith. He took his eyes off of Jesus.
There was doubt and unbelief. Amen.
Exactly, which is what happened to the children of Israel. They took their eyes off of Jesus, their Savior, their Deliverer, and started looking at, man, these people are like 15 feet tall. Look at how big they are. Look at how many there are. We can't possibly do this. Instead of going, Lord, I know that if you said it, you were going to provide the backbone. You were going to provide the strength and the power to get it done, as you said, mommy. And that's something that we need to
be aware
of. Well,
we should have the backbone, that backbone being faith. Now, we should also not be looking at natural circumstances.
David came up against the same scenario that the children of the spies did, didn't they? Didn't he?
Yes, mommy.
Not to mention he was younger. Those were full-grown men. You know, maybe not the oldest men they could ever be, but they were full grown.
I'm just saying. 40.
Right? They were full grown men.
And he was looking, what, 17, 18, something 16? Like that?
Looking at giants and said, ooh, you know, but really it was because they had an evil heart towards God. Joshua and Caleb said, no, man, we got this. Not because we can do it, but God, he'll do it. He'll provide.
He said he would do it.
What's needed. He's got the rest. He's got it. Let's go. But David, a young boy, a teenager,
whippersnapper,
I'm telling you, who could have had a million of excuses, came up against the same giant, if you will, And this one had armor on. The other ones were just walking around farming the land and picking their teeth. But
the number one excuse actually, he could have had is, well, I'm not part of the military. I'm just here to deliver some goods to my brothers.
And he could have said, he's got armor on. Look how long his beam was this long. His sword was like, it weighs this much, God. I mean, he could have laid out those measurements that everybody else was reciting. He could have said that, but he didn't. Right? He said, hey, my God is my deliverer.
Amen.
Let's get to it. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
And even when someone else tried to sow doubt in him about what God would do for him, he said, I'm going to go with what God has taught me. I'm staying with what God has already shown and taught me, and I'm going forward in faith towards God. And the Lord did the work. David's little pebble knocking against the big woolly head did nothing on its own. It did not. I'm just saying. It had to be God super on his natural. His faith said, throw the pebble. Right? Throw the water. I don't care how big that rock is.
Stone. Yeah.
Right? It wasn't a boulder that David was slinging in that. I'm just saying. Come on now. Let's look at this. It wasn't a boulder. And so David said, here's my faith. God, you're with me. I'll throw the rock. And the Lord said, thank you, son. That's all I needed. And he took the angel and drove it into his head to make it kill Goliath.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? I mean, that pebble could have just flown short and fell on the ground. We don't even know how close David was. And I know I'm being funny about this. But I'm just saying, look at, we tend to go, it was a perfect circumstance and all that. And it had to, David was so much. No, his family didn't even think he was worth anything. He could have been singing the pitiful song, but he did not. And God said, throw that pebble, boy. I got it. And he flew it in there and took care of the rest. Right? Of course, yes, that was God doing that work. And David cooperated with him. Okay. Yeah.
But then, Mommy, you mentioned something interesting about Caleb and Joshua. By the time that Caleb, when we see later in the book of Joshua, when he was going up to get his inheritance, he was like 80 years old. Mm-hmm. So the age for
85, right?
85. We like to retire here in the States around 50 or 60.
Yeah, depending. Yeah.
But right? He was 80 years old, and he, that on that mountain were the Nephilim, the giants, the sons of, I know,
Anak.
Anak. Thank you, Charles. Mm-hmm. The sons of Anak, and he did that. Caleb said, "I already seen you work, Lord. I'm gonna go and do it." He didn't go, "I'm so a decrepit old man. Mm-hmm. I need my cane and my walker. I can't do that."
Let's recognize something else there. He said, "I want this piece of land as the inheritance for these reasons." But now, wait, he's still not retired because there's work to do.
He's got
the land that has to be prepped for him and his offspring.
Amen.
And his tribe.
But you think about that. Was that the same mountain he spied out when they were there? And he said, man, yeah, I can see myself living up here. Ooh, wait, look at that view. Yeah. He didn't forget that 40 years. He could have said, shmagga, shmagga, all these people. He could have done Moses now.
Could have complained. Could have done Moses all sorts of things.
Kept a bitter word in his mouth. I'm out here because of you people. Go back. Go and read his closing remarks. I summarized it. I did.
Repeatedly through but Deuteronomy.
I'm just saying. Yes. I'm just saying. He held that in his mouth. As he was like, and I can't go in because of you people. And y'all did this, and I was angered with you. No, he was in full command. As you said before, LeCharles, he had a choice not to fall in the trap of the adversary, striking the rock, hitting it all hard, and disrespecting the Lord. When the Lord said, speak, because this rock is representing the rock of Christ. He could have done what was right, but he chose not to. But then he carried that in his mouth until he went up on the mountain and went home to be with the Lord. Got to look at it, but we had to go home. But Caleb, what was he doing this 40 years? He's training like, I'm going to get that mountain. Because he didn't wait. Just like Jacob, when Esau said, give me some soup. I'm hungry. Right. I'm going to die. He said, give me your birthright. That was on the tip of his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
What, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That was on the tip of his tongue. That was on the tip of Caleb's tongue. So he had been meditating on this.
While fighting the other 60 or however many battles there were.
What?
Exactly.
And the 40 years that passed from the last time he got to set his foot in that land, I want my mountain. I want my mountain. Hallelujah, Jesus, I didn't forget about this. And I know you haven't forgotten about it, Lord. I believe you. Can I get my mountain? I can have my mountain. I can give my mountain. I'm going to take that mountain, Lord. I'm with you. I know you'll be with me because you've already, and because you let me live and I did not perish with the other people who denied you, I know that you're finding grace. I found grace in your sight, that you are delighted in me and you'll bring me in and deliver me.
Yes, Mommy.
So he went on and did it.
Amen. What else you got, Promise?
Well, God was, as we spoke about, Lord was reminding me of how the only way we can inherit that blessing is first by being obedient. Ma, you talked about Caleb. The only way he could get to Mount Hebron.
Okay, let's go.
The only way he could get to was by being obedient, and he was obedient 40 years ago, and he had to continue to be obedient throughout those 40 years. He couldn't slack off and go, well, Lord, I already saw that mountain, and so I know you're going to give it to me, so it then
so now he can live however he wanted? No, exactly.
And then in his strategy to get the mountain, he had to go to God to get that.
And he had to endure with a good attitude in between there. I mean, like we said, he could have had a bitter attitude over these 40 years that he was delayed.
Well, and not just the 40 years, but then there were 60-something battles that they fought. And he had to endure through all of that to then, after all those battles were complete and the time it took for those battles, to then, as they were dividing the land, go, that mountain's mine. So it wasn't just the 40 years, right? Although 40 years is definitely a considerable length of time. But it was, wait, then he had to endure and hold fast to his faith and his confession of his faith through the time of actually taking the land and hold that for when it was time to divide up the land in the inheritance.
Amen.
So it's the same thing for us today.
He had to keep the faith.
Amen.
And that looks like in whatever side of it we fall on, whether it's enduring in righteousness, right? When it looks like things are delayed, or that's enduring in hope, all of those things go and can be summarized in keep the faith.
Which is only found in Jesus. That's it. There's none other that can provide, that can give you true rest.
Amen.
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 All right, well, let's pause there for today. And can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, LaCharles.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the joy and the peace that you sent with us, Lord. We just thank you that you have only done good to us, Lord, and that you only have planned good for us, Lord. And Lord, we also just thank you that we have the opportunity to rest inside of you, Lord, and to walk in that, Lord. And Lord, we just take the dominion that you have given us, Lord, over all the situations that stir up against us, Lord. And we just command them to be still in your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.